Good morning. It is not quite 5 a.m. I've been out driving around for over an hour with our three-week-old, trying to get her to sleep. And I've been thinking a lot about the resilience of the things that we do in life and how we approach them and how we deal with them. For example, getting up at 3 o'clock in the morning after spending the first 4 hours asleep fitfully on the couch, making sure that she was asleep, and then spending an hour and a half fitfully in bed because she was crying in the other room with my wife, followed by spending the next couple hours driving around in the pre-dawn hours, drinking coffee and getting her to sleep. This significantly derails any idea or plan for a day. I've read so many different books and so many different ideas on how to build your perfect day, how to have the perfect plan, how to win the day, how to win the morning. And I can tell you generally that most days, and if you've got kids out there also, that most days don't go as planned. And that's okay, because I think that the perfect day has more to do with your resilience and your plan of adaptation, or your ability to adapt, than it does to do with your initial plan and how well you stick to it. I believe it was Mike Tyson that said, everyone has a plan until they get punched in the face. Well, I didn't get punched in the face this morning, but I can tell you that the metaphor of getting punched in the face applies to life for a lot of people. And a lot of different things will happen throughout your day that will feel like a punch in the face to a fighter, like a punch in the face to the fighter, as it does to you and how it derails your day. So I want to talk a little bit about our adaptability, grit, how to be gritty, and how it relates to the program that I've written called Grit, and how one of my favorite plans for working out, and I go to this very, very often, now it has to do with 10 rounds and why 10 rounds is important. So first, let me talk a little bit about grit. There's going to be a lot more coming up on grit. If you've listened to an old episode that I shared where I was on the other podcast that I'm a part of, the Mohawk Valley Wellness Show, we talked pretty extensively about the concept of grit, about the program of grit, about the idea of doing hard things for the sake of doing hard things, about the idea that that will build resilience, stick-to-itiveness, unfuckwithability, and the ability to get back on the horse after you've been punched in the face, literally or figuratively. I will also tell you that, make sure we're still recording here. Like I said, I'm out driving around and it's dark out, so I'm not paying attention to the phone. I'm recording this on voice notes. So I just wanted to make sure it's still recording. Anyway, this idea of grit as a program, let me detail it again in case you missed it. You can go back and listen to that episode and I'll share it as well. But I spent a lot of years in the gym. Doing very high intense workouts, lifting a lot of weight, moving very fast. I've competed in powerlifting, I've competed in strongman, I've competed in Spartan races, I've competed in endurance races, I've competed in CrossFit competitions, and all of this came on the back of spending 20 years competing and training for Taekwondo and Taekwondo competitions ever since I was 4 years old. And so it's really all I know is this high-intensity lifestyle. And it's ebbed and flowed a bit throughout the years. But what happened about 4.5 years ago was my wife and I decided that we needed to shit or get off the pot. We had talked about moving. We had talked about traveling ever since we met each other. Since we started dating that first summer. And we used to fantasize about having a van and traveling the country and having this nomadic lifestyle, kind of right at the beginning of when the nomadic lifestyle option started for people. You know, now you see van life, hashtag van life everywhere. This was 8-10 years ago where that wasn't really a huge thing yet. So we had talked about this, and then time progressed, as does is the case with time. With most people, time progresses, and then people have plans, and that don't always come to pass. So we had bought a house, we had settled in, we had had a kid, and our first kid, and she was 2.5 years old, and we realized that we needed to shit or get off the pot if we were going to move and we were going to travel and try out this life. It needed to happen sooner than later. So we sold the house, we bought a fifth wheel camper, ended up having to upgrade our vehicle, this massive F-250 Super Duty truck that was like a bus to pull it, because a 28-foot fifth wheel can't be pulled by a Silverado. And then we left. We traveled the country, and all of a sudden, for the first time in my life, I didn't have access to a way to train under high intensity. From what I remember, from what I had been used to, I no longer was a part of the gym that I had come up into, where I coached at, where I ran programs at. I didn't have the barbells, the weights, the sleds, the kettlebells, the dumbbells, all the strongman equipment, the stones, the axle bar, the logs, the yokes, the sandbags, the tires, everything that I had grown accustomed to creating high intensity under was not in our camper with us, believe it or not. What was in our camper with us was two kettlebells. One was 53 pounds. One was 35 pounds. Also had a length of rope, about the length of a typical jump rope, but built out of a battle rope that we had previously used for a competition that we hosted a few years back. And I kept one of them. This was all we had. So what I needed to do while traveling in the camper was to find a way to create the same intensity that I was used to, but without the same tools that I was used to. So I started running more, longer distances, mixing in different kettlebell exercises, bodyweight exercises in the middle of it. Once we got to Colorado, I had access to a sandbag and the training continued, and I didn't go into the gym as often, and I was using sandbags and I was using pull-up bars, and I was throwing that length of rope up over tree limbs and doing pull-ups with that, and box step-ups for 30 to 40 minutes for an hour with no music, and trying to find ways to create intensity. And that intensity came under the way of creating mental fortitude, because I was no longer working out in a way that I was familiar with, but I was trying to challenge it in different ways, such as not having music, such as taking more rounds, maybe doing 300 burpees in a row, which for the first time I did 300 burpees in a row. I was in the middle of Ohio out in somebody's driveway, and I did it right next to the camper in my jeans and flannel, and it was not a great experience. But since then, I've done 300 burpees multiple times. 100 burpees is a regular go-to workout, often while making breakfast. I've also done 400 and recently did 500 with some friends in a row. I'm really starting to think about a day where I'm going to do 1,000 burpees coming up also. But we'll talk more about that in a little bit. Some challenges I've got coming up. So here we are. I've been traveling and creating this new intensity. And what came about was 30 days straight of training. And I was posting these workouts on my website at the time, and which, by the way, if you get on the website, you can still find free daily training. It's not every day, but got a lot of training out there that you can follow. Hit me up if you need some more. I've got some posted on the Instagram as well. So I took 30 days in a row that I did training, and I put them all together, and I wrote little love notes on every day. These little love notes are things such as, like, today is going to suck. Today is supposed to suck. Make sure that if the weather's bad, you embrace it. Make sure that if you have music, you leave it at home. And then I would write a workout, and at the end of it, it would say, guess what? You've got one more round. Because this created this amazing mental fortitude around training, around being resilient, so when you do get punched in the face, so to speak, it's not as bad as the punch in the face that we took in the middle of this workout program. Since then, I obviously have access back into a gym, and life happens and ebbs and flows, and there has been some less intense times in my training. Still pretty intense, I will tell you. There's still a lot of days and where I'm going probably as hard as I can, or I'm doing long workouts. So this brings me to the idea of 10 rounds. I have a lot of clients that I see regularly. I am an active personal trainer, and I probably personal train over 30 hours a week on top of coaching probably 10 hours a week and other responsibilities running a world-class personal training program here in upstate New York, which will eventually turn into the gym that you will see opening up in Colorado within the next year, pending our move back. This idea of 10 rounds is something that I employ, and I do a lot more work with clients now on building their mental fortitude and their resilience, and I'm a lot less focused on their ability to squat more weight or move more weight or get stronger. But that, all of that's going to happen as a byproduct. But I realize that focusing on their grit and mental fortitude and their ability to push through when they feel as though they have nothing left, or they feel like the workout is majorly daunting, that it helps them achieve an end and be able to reap the benefits long term because they're lasting. And I haven't just put them through a workout and made their legs stronger, or they can bench press more weight, or they've got some more muscle mass, but I've given them the tools to be able to bring that into the rest of their life as well. This idea of 10 rounds came out because that's always my go-to. When I write a workout, I will tell you that I look at overall training volume also. So I really like to lift heavy weights, but I also like to move a lot. And for example, yesterday I did a workout and I wanted to bench press, but I also wanted to throw a sandbag over my shoulder. I also wanted to do some ski erg. All right, if you're unfamiliar with the ski erg, it looks like a rower, you know, the rower where you sit on like a rowing machine, except it's vertical and the handles come down from the top and you drive them down like the poles of a set of skis. And you generate force on the way down, and it's an endurance type cardiovascular machine. And I knew I wanted to bench press, and I knew I wanted to bench press heavy. So I worked up to something like 275. I grabbed a 150-pound sandbag, and I decided that my overall training volume needed to be higher than just a few sets of 3 to 5 reps at 275 on the bench press. So I decided that instead I would do 10 rounds, and this is something I do very, very often, decide to go 10 rounds. I went 10 rounds of 3 reps on the bench press, 5 sandbag over the shoulder, followed by 500 meters on the ski erg, because I knew that overall training volume would give me 30 reps at 275, which is roughly 75 to 80% on the bench press. It would give me 50 reps of sandbag over the shoulder of a 150-pound bag, which is pretty good explosiveness, and it would give me 4,000 meters on the ski erg, which I knew would also take me roughly, 20 minutes worth of work. So you tie that all together, and you've got a 30 to 40-minute long workout. And 10 rounds is great because the first round you get into it, and you know that you've got 30 to 40 minutes, or maybe it's a shorter round, and it's daunting because you look at the entire path in front of you and you look at the whole elephant that you need to eat, so to speak, and you realize that, man, this is going to take a while and I'm going to be here a while. And then you get partway through round two and you realize that you're starting to get fatigued, and then you realize that, man, I'm not only going to be here a while, but I'm going to be pretty tired by the end of it. And then cognitive dissonance kicks in and you get somewhere around like 4 or 5, and you're like, man, maybe 5 rounds is enough. Maybe 8 rounds is enough. Maybe half an hour is enough. But an amazing thing happens when you continue to put your head down and just work. And before you know it, you're at round 6. And then you're at round 8. And all of a sudden, you can see the end. And then you push through and you do get to the end. And that sense of accomplishment does way more for you than the overall training volume, which ends up being a good amount of volume anyway. So I do this with clients often. It might be 10 rounds on a sled push. It might be 10 rounds of rowing and push-ups. And they don't always have to be long workouts, but 10 rounds, 10 relatively difficult rounds, can do more for your mental fortitude than anything else. A couple things that I've got coming up here that I want you to kind of keep an eye on is more free daily training. Grit program will always be free. I've made a decision that I will never charge for that program. If you go on my Instagram at Barebone Strength, you'll see that program linked under my link in bio thing that people use, you know, the whole link in bio. You can go to free grit program. It's always free. It's a PDF program, 30 days straight of training. You can also listen to the podcast episode where we detail grit. And you can also get on my website and you can follow daily training. And I'm going to see a whole lot of more 10-round stuff coming up. Also, some things I've got in the works is a unicorn program. Now, this is a combination of pure strength plus cardiovascular conditioning, endurance training. There are plenty of programs out there that will help you peak for, you know, strength plus 50K, for example, is a program that I did in the past from another coach. Or there is powerlifting plus 5K. There is Ironman plus strength. And they're very specific to events. This program is not that. This program will not peak you for a specific event. This is a general program to improve your overall cardiovascular endurance ability, run long distances, bike long distances, ruck long distances, and it will also improve your overall strength while doing it. The elusive unicorn, trying to do everything all at once, but not necessarily peak for one specific event. That's coming down the pipeline. And of course, I've mentioned it before, our move back to Colorado is pending. We just flat out open. We are in the listing the house phase, and as long as it takes to get this house sold and closed and move back to Colorado, you'll see us back out there, in which case all of the free online training will continue. You'll start to see some more Savage Saturday come out, where we're getting crews together to go do wild things on the weekends under the Barebone Strength Grit Crew title. And you'll also see a gym open. And more on that in the future. But I want to leave you with a couple closing thoughts because we're closing in on the 20-minute mark for today's episode while I'm driving around, getting the kiddo to sleep. Still not 100% asleep, in case you're wondering. It's now 4:57 a.m. Probably got another good half hour of driving in me. A couple closing thoughts. I'll leave you with that quote again. Everybody's got a plan until they get punched in the face. Well, I want you to identify a couple things that are punches in the face, and I want you to do it in real time. So that means as your day goes on today, think about what's happening to derail you, what are the punches that are getting thrown your way. And then there's this idea of, are they hitting you in the face, or are you deflecting them, are you dodging them, are you slipping them, ducking them, blocking them? And doing any of these evasive maneuvers, or these maybe you're just taking it full on the chin, which is another great quote because it exemplifies this idea of, like, yes, you're going to get punched in the face and you could just accept it and move on. So identify what those punches are. What have you gotten hit in the face with today? What have you done to change your course of action pending that punch? And how flexible are you in the plan that you've built for yourself? That can be trying to build your perfect day. Maybe you didn't get to go to the gym today, so instead you did 100 burpees in your living room. Or instead you, maybe you don't need to stay in your living room, you know, because you've got two small kids like we do. Maybe instead you can go out in the garage and you can run down your street and back and then do, you know, 25 push-ups and 50 air squats every time you get back in your garage. Maybe you've got some weights available and you can do a quick workout at home. Maybe instead the punch in the face that you got today wasn't not having time, but it was that you ended up having to do way more responsibilities at work, or you had to travel, or you had to drive, like I'm out driving now, and maybe you didn't have access to the good food that you had planned for the day. Instead of letting that derail you, maybe your ability to take it on the chin is sticking to a set of principles that you've set for yourself, such as, I will not eat food that is not good food for me, rather than, I'm going to eat prepped food. Because, you see, prepped food can be forgotten. You can leave it in the fridge accidentally, it can go bad. You can not have a way to microwave something or whatever. Maybe you just forgot to prep food completely. So if that's how you're going to plan your day, it can be very easily derailed. But if you give yourself this set of standards that I will work out today, then you can find a way to do that. If your set of standards on food is, I will not eat unhealthy food. I will only eat meat, veggies, and a small limited other number of things, water, black coffee. And if you don't have access to those things, then I guess you're not going to eat until you can find those things. And that's a really good way to go about it also. So identify the punches, find out what's going to derail you, what has derailed you, and then think of ways that you can get around it. Guys, I leave you with this closing thought. It's going to be the workout that's posted for today. It's going to be 10 rounds. Surprise, 10 rounds. It's going to involve a deadlift. And a deadlift can be any number of ways. It can be a kettlebell, two kettlebells, a couple dumbbells, barbell, trap bar, sandbag. It can be a couple buckets that you find in your garage. It could be old car batteries. It could be whatever you have to deadlift. And it's going to be a 400-meter run. Right? So hash out a quarter mile, go to a track, whatever you need, quarter mile run, followed by 10 deadlifts and 10 burpees. And you're going to do 10 rounds. Have fun with that one. Let me know how it goes. Guys, this has been another amazing episode. You like how I just told you it was amazing? Another episode that I've thoroughly enjoyed talking my way through, and I look forward to conversing with more of you and finding out how you're getting around those punches that are thrown your way. This is Bare Bones Radio. If you have a friend out there that can find some value from this, please share it along. This is free and will always continue to be free. So with the Grit Program, please check them out and share them along to somebody that would get some value. And try the program. Guys, thank you for tuning in. This has been 20 Minutes on Bare Bones Radio. And have a great day.